We are up to page Kuf Samach Aleph. We have very little to do, just a few more halachas to do in the laws of Avodah Zarah. I didn't make any other handouts. We're up to Halacha Yud Aleph.
I happened accidentally to hear she yesterday by Kevin.
Good, say, tell us.
About the articles that came to visit YU.
Right.
So he found a Avnei Shoham. This was a Rishon who was the Aril and the Ramah are based on a lot of what he says. And they found some censored letters that he had written. Avnei Shoham.
Who is that?
He was in the, let's say, the 14 or 1300s. And he writes that, what do you do when, you know, you have a, you had the four states, right? And one was the religious state was part of the government, and they walked around with their tzelem, so there's a shayla. And he writes, and there's another letter that's answered that says that all the judges wore cloaks that had big crosses on them. But they knew, the judges knew, that when they had Jewish clients in front of them, if they wanted to get covered from the eating, they would cover their crosses. But that was back then. So he said, YU should have done, or told these guys, you come in cross and cover it. And he said, they should have done something better. Lustiger was one of the guys. He says, I'm not judging Lustiger because whoever went through the Holocaust, it's a different story. But he says, Lustiger has a cousin who also went through the Holocaust. I think he's a vice president in Exxon. He wrote two sparim on Rav Soloveitchik. They should have gotten his cousin in with the two volumes and give him a present, show to his cousin, you know, you went one way, I went another way. So he brings a story that happened in 1928. The dean of St. John's University wrote a letter to Rabbi Revel saying that there are a lot of Jewish kids go to school, they don't want to accept a diploma because there's a cross on the diploma. So he wrote back, he says, the cross, you know, traditionally it was a religious symbol. The only reason you have a cross on your diploma is to show you're affiliated with something. There's absolutely no problem with a Jew accepting your diploma. But I'm very proud that the Jews feel themselves equal today to say, I don't want it. So the whole shayla that, like we said,
it doesn't know meaning. It's just there.
It's religious thing.
It's not. Look, there are many schools that go to Fordham University Law School. Yeah. Someone told me every classroom has a cross. Yeah, has at Salem.
And some hospitals have 10 Jews in
the in the hospital.
Why?
Yeah.
Fordham Law School? Mostly.
Okay, let's learn. Halacha Yud Aleph. Kol Litzenusa Asur L'mchutz V'Litzenusa D'Avoida Zara D'Sharia. All Litzenusa is forbidden except for Avodah Zarah. One person is not allowed to mock, ridicule anything in this world. The only thing that is permitted is Litzenusa de Avodah Zarah. Let's see. Part of the halacha here on the bottom. Chutz miLitzenusa de Avodah Sharia Mizel El Chilk Alf Sif Lamed. Okay, it says look back. I don't know what it says there. Halacha Yud Beis. Also, Litein Matan Manaschinim Lein Yehudi. We have the halacha of Lo Sichonim. You're not allowed to give a free gift. Mishiva Amim Shaina Mekira, who you do not recognize, the says as the pasuk of Lo Sichonim V'Darshim Lo Sidi Lohem Matnas Chinam. Lo Sichonim means to not show them favor, which we translate to mean Chinam. Lashon Chinam Ches Nun Mem. Do not give them a free gift. Avol Imhu Makira. But let's say he is your friend, he is your business acquaintance, he is your next door neighbor. Lo Yave Matnas Chinam. It's never considered to give an acquaintance, someone that you work with in business, to give a car to a mailman, to give a tip. Comes the holiday season, so you got to give a tip to the mailman, to give a tip to the newspaper delivery man, or to give gifts at work to all of your fellow co-workers. There's no issue whatsoever because it's all part of business. Because he already has provided a service and it is expected for you to tip him, or you want him in the future to be good, to continue providing good service, and that's also, it's considered to be payment, it's not considered to be los sechonim. Halacha Yud Gimel. Asur l'saper b'shvachan afilu loymar kama no evi kachavim zo b'tzuras. You're not allowed to praise. Speak about the praise of an avodah zara. Umikol shekein shlo l'saper shevach ma'asav in the good deeds or sheyichaviv davar medvarav or sheyichaviv to say how precious, how beautiful his expression is. Shozeo gamkein b'chlal lo sichanem lo sitein lohem chein. You're not allowed to say something.
A person.
B'shvach ma'asav is a person. No, you're not allowed to praise a guy. For no reason, no, you're not allowed to. A guy, you're not allowed. That's what it says. Lo sichanim. Lo sichanim. Afilu lo makamenu avod. No, so that's no. You see, a lot of give, that's derech eretz. Let's say posting a review. Angie's List. Anyone ever use Angie's List? Anyone use it's phenomenal service. Angie's List. Let's say you go, you hire. I use it. I don't have things for me to do. But once in a while, I needed a broken refrigerator. So I don't know what to do. So I went to Angie's List. I have an account. I use other things. So I went to the first guy, all A's. You know, the second guy on the list. I went to the reviews. They were phenomenal, and called him. And sure enough, just like what they said about him, incredible service. He came honest, cheap, did what he was going to do, he knew what to do. So he asked, how do you find out about me? Like, where in the world do I come to go get this guy? Angie's List. Oh, Angie's List. Can you do me a favor? Can you please post a review on Angie's List, because that's how I make my parnasa. So are you allowed to do this? This is a real guy. We're talking over here, the real deal. We're not talking over here, Jew make-believe. We're talking the real deal. Are you allowed to give a positive review? Now, I don't know. I didn't ask a rabbi, but I'm assuming it's mutter. First of all, it's derech eretz, b'chil Hashem. He went and he did a service. So he became a makir. He did provide a service for us. We just learned over here. He provided a service. And part of paying him, I pay him in cash, or check, whatever, credit card, and I also pay him by posting my review, my comments, that he did for me a good service. If I would not post a good review, it would also be a chil Hashem. He comes to a person, what? Ava. So I'm coming here, I'm posting a very nice review. Let's say I'm sitting, I'm watching my next door neighbor, and I'm watching a guy come and do a service, and I'm allowed to go online and find out his Angie List page, and go and post a review, and he did not provide for me a service. So I would argue, maybe yes, because I want to let people know, other chaverim, other people in the neighborhood, people like, Angie's List works, it knows you, he knows your location, and it right away gives you people who have used that service in your immediate neighborhood. So since this immediate neighborhood, there are many religious from people, so maybe it would be also to the advantage of the people living in this community should know there's a great service provider in our community. I'm not just giving him shevach v'hoidah for fun. If I happen to go on vacation to Alaska and I happen to see a very good guy who knows how to fix slits, and I would then come back to Brooklyn and post a review, this guy is the best of the best. Does he know how to fix a sled? Possibly, and he didn't fix my sled, by the way. Possibly, that would be a violation of lo sechonim. What are you going and giving the shevach to a guy? The Torah, you don't have to apologize for something that it says in the Torah. The Torah says lo sechonim. That is it. You don't have to say, but today we live in this society and we have to be good to everyone. No, you follow what it says in the Torah. You're not allowed to give praise and shevach to a non-Jew for no good reason. There has to be. There's a very famous story with Rav Chudner. Okay, I've heard this story told over in different ways. The way I heard it was as follows. There was Rav Chudner when he was a young boy in Slobodka. Rav Yitzchak Chudner. This is how I heard the story. I heard different versions of the story, but this is the way I heard it originally. He was in Slobodka, and there was a dispute among his chaverim, among his friends. Is it shaykh to say that a guy has good midos? Okay, there might be indeed a prohibition. There might be a prohibition to say lo sechonim. You're not allowed to praise the guy. You know, it might get to them. Who knows? But is it shaykh a good midah? So there was a debate among the boys. So one boy said, yes, there is something to say good. There are. And he gave an example. He said that the Germans, the way I heard it was in German. He said, you have to know German. I don't know German. I'm just translating, and when the translation, it loses all of the flavor. But in German, the custom was, when you ask a person, can I have directions? How do I get to the bus station? So in German, you tell the person how to go, and you conclude by saying, don't you think so?
Yeah. What?
Like it's an expression of humility. Like don't. I'm not taking pride that I know something that you do not know. You probably also know this, but you forgot. Isn't this what you think? Also, isn't this the way to go to that location? So this boy said to Rav Fudner, "This is a very beautiful thing. It's an act of humility. It's a very beautiful expression. You don't see this in other cultures. We don't have this among Jews. This expression to conclude this statement with, it's a nice thing. It's a beautiful. Okay, it's a beautiful midah." Okay, other group of boys went and said, it could be, I think Rav Fudner said, no such thing. There's no such thing as a good midah by a non-Jew. Does not exist. Okay, they left it. They left the debate. That was the end. Years later, the war broke out, Holocaust, terrible things happened, many people relocated, anyone who survived came to America. Rav Fudner then became a Rashiva, a big Rashiva. He was in his office one day, he gets a knock. Someone's here, the secretary says, Rav Fudner, there's someone here that wants to see you. Doesn't have an appointment, but he insists on making his way into the office to come see you. Comes into the office and he says, what's all this? What are you coming here to see me? Who are you? He says, you don't recognize me, but I recognize you. Do you remember years ago, whatever it was, 20, 30, 40 years ago, we were in Slobodka and there was a debate between the boys. If a guy has a good midah, I was the one who argued that a guy has good midahs. And he shows Rav Fudner that he doesn't have an arm. He doesn't have an arm, he has a prosthesis, the whole thing is missing with a hook. Okay, this probably years ago, they didn't have such good, whatever it was. So he says, in the Holocaust, I was in a concentration camp, I did some Avera, and they decided to punish me by cutting off my arm. And the soldier was mocking me, and he said to me, you did this, so now we're going to punish you, we're going to cut off your arm. Don't you think so? Don't you think you deserve it? Like, he used that same expression that the boy very strongly said is a good midah. When he asked a guy directions, a German directions, he concludes with that word. That's the word he, that's how he concluded my sentence. And then he cut off my arm. And when he said those words to me, my mind was flooded with the memories of the debate we had in yeshiva, how I said that the guy has a good midah. And obviously you're right. They don't have good midahs. They use that same thing. We abused it. Maybe it's a possibility, it can be good. But a guy doesn't know how to take a midah and only use it for good. Okay, this is the story. Okay, you have to take the story with a grain of salt. I don't know you have to know if the story is accurate, but it's just an idea to understand what it says here in the halacha about you're not allowed to praise. How beautiful he is. Talk about that. They mentioned this in reference to sports figures, ball players. Reggie Jackson. Anyone remember Reggie Jackson? Anyone remember him? Yeah. Reggie Jackson, Bucky Dent, all these superstars. Okay? So all of these people, are you allowed to go and praise Mekeel, what's his name? Mekeel O'Neal?
Shaquille
O'Neal. I remember the story, Shaquille O'Neal. I remember this is a famous story about a big Rosh Hashiva. Major league Rosh Hashiva. He had a child, and he was in Kim Morris. Major league Rosh Hashiva, and his child fell on the concrete. Banged his head really hard on the concrete. The father was tittering that the kid, who knows, can be brain damaged, could be, who knows, even dead, whatever. So everyone's gathering around. They call that Saul. The father is white as a sheet. Okay, white as a ghost. And he says to the kid, Yankala, are you okay? Do you remember we learned yesterday the Mishnah? Remember the Mishnah we learned yesterday? Remember the Gemara? I learned with you a little Gemara, a Mishnah. I learned the one we learned Shalashudas. I told you a Vart. Do you remember? Ein Kol ve'ein Oineh. So then the Rashiva says to him, Shaquille. And the boy, O'Neal. And the father goes, Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. Shaquille. So, obviously the boy was into Shaquille O'Neal, so are you allowed? So there's an issue over here about praising the ball players. Are you allowed? It's not according to halach, it says. That's what it says.
Can you support politicians?
What?
Support politicians?
What do you mean?
That
things are, you're supposed to take things from the Gentile world.
Sanctify it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So isn't it the same?
But we're sanctified from within our world. We're not sanctified. We're not.
A guy could have good meat. He's saying,
That's the question. That's a very big debate. You know, I don't know the answer. When you talk about sanctifying chol mikodesh, we're doing it. We're taking chol and we are sanctifying it. We're doing something. But to say it's not us, this is them, and this is them, and there's something good about them. There's something good about them for us to take from and for us to make good for ourselves. It's a good midah. Let's use it, and let's use it within our parameters, our guidelines. But this,
you're giving credit.
Yes, right. Obviously, there's a very, very fine line. It's a very tough line to balance. You're right. I don't know what to say. There's a very tough line to balance. As I told you with that story, you know, you have to know how to balance these things. Whatever it's worth.
Can you support politicians?
You have to. When you're supporting a politician, you're supporting yourself. Politicians are for you. The politicians, they represent the people. They're your, of course.
Public service.
Public, you have to go and you have to praise them. You want them to continue doing what they're doing, right? You want to go give... What? Schadifa. Give me 1 second.
Jerry West.
No. What's Jerry his name?
Los Angeles.
Jerry West. How far back are we going?
Going. Okay, give me 1 second. He's a Rashiv now in Nirvardik. Yankel Drillman.
Who?
Rav Yankel Drillman. He's now one of the Rosh Yeshiva in Nirvardik. What? No, this is different. This is his father was a Rosh Yeshiva in YU. His father, Rav Yankel Drillman's father, was a Rosh Yeshiva in YU. Rav Yankel Drillman was once a Ram in Chaim Berlin, and then he left, he made his own yeshiva, he joined partner with Rabbi Yaffin to make a yeshiva in Narvardik many, many years ago. But this, Beis Yosef, right. Avenue N. Okay.
Along with Torah topic, why do Rabbanim ask you to have these ecumenical councils when you join with Goyim?
That's a machlekes Rav Yosher Ber. Rav Yosher Ber he went out on a limb. There are a lot of good shiurim on that. You go and listen to Rabbi Kefet, Rabbi Rothkopf. He talks about that, and that's Jewish history. Rav Moshe was against that, having these councils. We joined together with the Goyim. Rav Yosher Ber he had his own sheet on that was not accepted by many others.
You could talk to a guy
about
building a hospital or paving the street, but nothing on a religious matter.
Where do you draw the line? No, but even on religious matters, he had this idea called Klapei Chutz, Klapei Panim. He wrote a very famous piece on this, on his opinion, Rav Yosher Ber. And it's called Klapei Chutz, Klapei Panim. There is internal and there is external, and he makes a difference when you join together with Christians and Orthodox and conservative and reform. It's a very complicated idea. And okay, this is Jewish history. I'm not familiar. This is fascinating. If you want to hear, there are two. Rabbi Kefir really is the bucky on this. He listened to his shiurim.
There was a conference in Eretz Yisrael in the Galil. There's a church facility. It's Lahavel, it's Akira for Goyim, and they had a lot of Goyim thing.
Yeah.
The guys from Olei Torah and this, and they made a bonfire, and they danced around Am Yisrael Chai. And the church came out saying, look how we're approaching them. You know, every time the guy said, God, the
Christians said him, you know?
All right, these are very complicated things. These are very complicated things. Okay, let's go further. So you're not allowed to learn from the halacha. B'shas mezuzchiv v'davar v'shazel gam kim chalal lo sichanim v'lo sichanim lachem chen aval im mechavim b'shvacha lohoides lakadosh baruch hu shabar b'riyad no kazo mutar. But if you want to go praise a guy, you want to go say something about a guy like he is, he's going this fine line. One more time, if you want mechavim b'shvacha, the reason why you're praising the guy is not because I'm praising you. I'm praising the Ribbono Shel Olam who has created such an incredible creature. This guy has done incredible things for the world. That is permitted. Very fine line, draw the difference. I don't have more clarification. Let's see Halacha Yud Aleph. Halacha Yud Aleph on the bottom. Also in the Saber Bishvachan, I am the Berhetev, Havi Mishut Chavasyar, the Anis and the Zavig, Zavugin Liakum, Murdikatin, you're allowed to make Shaduchim. You're in an office. So it says here, the Anis and the Zavig, Zavugin Liakum, and Komokum Yeshla Kabul Mipigdulum, the Hamasasik, the Elu Loyotsu Naki Mizera Shehinoi Hogon. Shocking thing. You want to make Shaduchim, you want to make Shaduchim for non Jews. You're in a business, you're in an office, and you see a boy and a girl, you say, why don't you two get married? I think you're a good Shaduch. So he says that technically there is no prohibition to be mizavik them, but there's a tradition. Mipi gedolim, who's saying this? This is the Be'er Hetev, that a person that involves himself in doing these things, lo yetzi naki mizera she'enei hogun, a person rachmanu litzol, we have children that are not hogun. The nirmaz b'mashakosav lo sichanim tischanim lo tischatein bom ki yosur espincha me'acharai ayin shom, because you're going to make a shidduch, that shidduch that you're going to make, you're going to produce a child, and that child that's going to come is going to have an influence on your children sometime generations later on. So that means, okay, we should be erich Moshe kosav the gam b'mokam revach gadol profit, like what's called eHarmony. Let's say you want to go, so this one of the biggest businesses online, the schmutz business, where they what?
It used to be
Guy Fields. There's a big business, this social, it's like saw you at Sinai, okay, they saw you at J-Date, so those are for Jews, supposedly, if it was for Jews, there are a lot of going to hang out there as well, but let's say you want to get involved in eHarmony, or I don't know, there are probably a billion others, right? They proliferate like locusts. These websites on the radio of all these dating sites, all different niches, all different ages and different types. It's a lot of money to be made. There's a big demand for this. So if you're in the computer world and you want to set up websites and do some marketing, you know what you're doing. This is a niche where you can make a lot of money. You should not be doing this. This is, it says here, technically speaking, it's mutter, but it is something, there's a tradition that a person's going to suffer in the long run from this. You hear this? Big time profit, big pranasa. Lo yihye shatchan lezeh period. Aval b'shut mahari asad kosav lahatir begavna in a situation shevbikish menu shidduch v'lo yisha plenis, unless they come to you. Unless a person, you're a boss, you're in a position, and you set me up, so then he holds that it's nasa. Very fascinating question, this issue of making shidduch among goyim. Okay, this people tell us, say there's no greater hana in this world. I shouldn't say that, but there is a tremendous hanah in making shidduchim. A person that is successful in being mezaveg a zivuk among us, you know what a nachas that is? You see them happily married, they have children, grandchildren, you take credit. Tremendous sipuk hanah. So people have this also by going also. You know, I also straighten out a person. That's just a terrible thing. I know someone who now, I mean, he's not well, this person now, but he used to be a public school teacher. And a very successful teacher, went to principal, did a lot of things. And he used to tell me these stories, how he straightened out these kids that came from homes that had nothing. He straightened them out, he got them jobs, he gave them a derech in life. And he used to sing with them Hasidic songs. He used to tell me he used to line up all the kids and he taught them a Baba Vinigun. Says you gotta see, they were all singing with just a Hislavas. And he straightened out and he has letters, he has stacks of letters from his Talmidim. We're talking over here, people that are completely totally not Jewish. He tried to get, they should go to church and they should go get a life. He has tremendous nachas. Tremendous nachas. So take that one step further, get him a shidduch. Get him a wife. Get a, you know, have a normal life. It's a tremendous nachas. So he says over here, it's not so poshut. It's not so posh. You have to know where to stop, where to draw the line.
What's the prohibition?
Lo sechonim. Don't give them a gift. Don't give a non-Jew a matnas chinam. Setting up a zavugim by akum is the ultimate type of lo sechonim. You're showing them favor by providing them with a zavugim. There are many varying. Shalom Akiroi, providing a service. It's a different league. One thing, you have a gardener, you have a mailman. This is already a different type of thing. When you're setting up something, you're doing a doiros. You're setting up doiros. The Be'er Hetev says is a Messiah that the children that are going to come from this union is going to have an effect, a boomerang against the person. Okay, I don't know more than what it says. You have to just read what it says. These are things that we should be aware of. And obviously, everything we learn over here is just Rosh Prakim, just little tidbits, a piece of information to think about. And every situation in Halacha is unique, and you can never generalize. And every situation has its own set of rules, and you have to just be aware of the issues. And when you have a situation, then you have to clarify what the Halacha is in that particular instance. Halacha, next Halacha Yudalid. Let's try to finish up. Halacha Yudalid. Mutar lefarnes and aniyim levakir cholim. You're allowed to give money to the Red Cross, to go volunteer to go to the hospital. Velikvar meisayim, to go to the cemetery, do volunteer work and clean up the cemetery.
Ula has meisayim.
To bury their dead.
It's a mitzvah to bury your shaykh.
It's buried.
It says mutter. It's
different than.
Let's see. Mishum darke sholem. Mishum darke shol. Let's see. Mutter lefarnes aniyim ulavaker choleim ulavaker ulikvar meisem. What?
By 1 and 2, but I have no problem me getting involved in burying that dead.
Why not?
I can give tzedaka to a poor guy. I can visit a guy in the hospital. But I have trouble giving.
But let's say it's Dark Hashem. We live in a Baruch Hashem in a society where we don't have these issues. But you have to go back in time where it was a major. Look at Israel. They send out every time there's an emergency. These are all Shomer Shabbos. The people who are going, Nepal, all these people are going there. They're Shomer Shabbos.
They were 30%.
Of the medical staff, and they have the best. They have the best of the best, the expertise, and they go out every time there's a disaster. So what are they doing this for? Oh, the Lo Sechonim. Terry says no. Dark is Shalom. We live in a big world.
Extend that far that I have some form of chiyuv to bury their dead.
Let's say someone comes knocking on your door. This always have people knocking on these organizations. They want to feed children in Africa. Okay. Can you give the price of a cup of coffee?
They had this guy this morning on the radio.
That's different.
So if you can give, it's a chil Hashem not to give. If you can give, you could afford to give what they want from you.
Ethiopia.
It's a chil Hashem not to give. What you're not going to go give, they see a big fancy house, they see everything is so nice, and you can't go give me $5.
I have a problem with 1 and 2, I have a problem with the third item.
Dignity, why? Look for my same. It's very painful. A dignified death. Okay, let's go. We're going to get that.
Are you allowed to go to Gentile funeral homes to do this?
Or
did you go to the today, they have two ways. Either they make the final mass, as they call it, in a church, and that's the Kabbat Achron for them. Or they do it in a Gentile funeral home. They have the wake for 3 days with the crosses and all the mice. And then a priest comes in at the end. He says, "Are you allowed?"
If it's in a secular funeral home with no religious affiliation, and there will be no religious service. No, open casket. It's not so terrible to be an open casket, but there's no religious service. If a priest is going to come and do the last, I don't know what they do, whatever they do, the last rites when they're alive. It's too late for the last rites. If there is no religious service, And it's not in a church. It's in a funeral home that is not affiliated. There's no cross. There's no tzelem. There's no most. It's very hard to find such a situation. There's no par. It's very hard to find. Everything today, there's always an affiliation. In death, everyone all of a sudden you're affiliated with something. It's very rare to find a funeral home that's completely secular with no affiliation when the service is not going to be a religious service in any shape or form.
Yeah.
You go to awake. The process of awake is people come. Some people go, and literally I've seen it in front of the casket, they will kneel down and they pray, so to speak, they're praying.
Okay.
And there is a cross over the open casket. On the other hand, there is a period you just go and they sit. They sit, they talk, they schmooze. It's different than a Shiva thing.
I don't really answer her. Am I asking? You have an experience with this?
It's not.
Yeah, a little bit.
So what about awake?
Awake, they sit around and they, you know, talk about the good.
And the dead body is there. Open casket. So do you allow a Baal HaBos to go to an open casket?
I advise against it only because, generally speaking, these things are usually under the Catholic.
Right, they usually. But let's say a Baal HaBos comes to you and says to you, we have an open casket in a funeral home that has no religious affiliation.
So you go over the casket and you say,
what do you say? Can you go to a Goyish cemetery? Yes, you can. You can go. Yes, you can. In fact, it says in Shulchan Aruch you should go if you can't find a Jewish cemetery to go Erev Yom Kippur. You should go to a Goyish cemetery. A coin? No, for sure not. A coin? For sure not. Now what?
There are Galatian mausoleums which have the crosses on all that. Now you're going to find it in the cemetery.
And it says you can go to a Galatian cemetery. They all have the crosses.
There's stained glass windows.
No, you do.
Rabbis, there are mace.
You have it on some of the
mace mitzvah. I don't think so. It says later on. Dark Yisholim. Yes, definitely. Yes. They bury a guy. No question. Covered. It's yes, of course. Selim Elokim. Oh, by a coin, you mean? A coin? Yes, of course. Selim. A guy uses it. It's created in the image of God. It's the Tselem Elokim. Let's go further. Okay, again, I don't know the answers. These are just Rosh Prakim. And in every situation, the truth is, there are no answers. Because more often than not, every situation is different. And it's very, very difficult to generalize.
You have to know who you're talking to.
You got to know who you're talking to. You got to know exactly what the situation is. There are a million variables in every Shaila. This is just, that's the beauty. You learn the issues, you have to be aware of the situation, and every question is different. You have a situation with a funeral home open casket. You advise not, but push comes to shove. You're not doing anything wrong.
It leads to various other things. If you really know what you're doing and you think like that, you could be very careful. But the average person, you get sucked into things that you never would have wanted to do. And it just happens. It morphs into things that
going to a church is categorically forbidden.
Right. Yes.
A guy, your best friend, the boss of the company, even if your job is on the line, your job, you don't come. You stand outside. But you're in a place where think about the president. Let's say Joel Lieberman would have become the vice president. Lo Yitzuya, right? Joel Lieberman, Orthodox, Shomer Shabbos, he's the real deal. Let's say he would have become the vice president. He would have a lot of problems.
Yeah.
A lot of problems.
Like, did he go? There was two presidents that died, and they had their funerals in Washington.
Four, and it was outdoors. But cemetery, the funeral was outdoors. They didn't have.
Did he go in?
What?
Did he go in? I don't know.
Who? Joe Lieberman?
Yeah.
Reagan, when Reagan died.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, was it a religious? They had a wake. They had a wake in the Capitol. In the Capitol. So what's so terrible?
A viewing.
It's not a viewing, so it's nothing. What is it?
Nothing.
You put out some flowers. What are you doing there? Nothing. It's fine. You can go.
It's
not a religious thing. But let's say, like, after 9/11, they had services all over the country in churches.
Yes.
All over. And it was televised. And every politician and everyone in government they came into these memorials in the churches and with the cardinals and the bishops. So can you imagine if you're the president of the United States and you're Shomer Shabbos and it's after 9 9/11 and say, I'm sorry, I'm not going to the service? Can you imagine how that's going to... No, you can't.
There's no question.
Going into a church? No. I don't think you're allowed to go in.
The problem is, Joe Lieberman, would they make Curtis Sliwa made fun of him because he was campaigning on Bishop Hall. So Curtis Sliwa on the radio, not a Jew, he would say, well, what is this? I thought it's Tishah B'Av today. So you're standing there and you're playing music.
He has to do his children, by the way.
There are certain red lines he can't cross under no condition, and there's no need to apologize. Says the Torah, it's Osir, it's Osir. Zehu, that's too bad for them. Yeah.
What about if someone, Chas V'Shalom, is an alcoholic?
Yeah.
He's an Alcoholics Anonymous.
Okay.
And the only meetings he can go to is in the church. Then it's allowed.
Like that's already different. That's already, like I say, an exception. That you go.
It has crosses.
So cause nothing.
Community room. They don't
have that. There's bikuach nefesh in that case. And in that case, you're not going to a religious service. You're not.
It's not. There's that holy cross. Not holy cross. There used to be a suffering cemetery, hospital. They make bris in the room with the crucifix on the wall.
Fordham University. Every room, I was told, has Salem.
The rooms don't have crosses anymore. No more crosses in the hospital in any rooms whatsoever. Half the doctors are walking around with their tzitzis out. But you have they have kosher elevator, Elul Shabbos elevator, kosher food.
It's good for business.
Yeah, they realize.
Good for business.
The kitchen.
It's money. Good for business.
Holy name.
I guess. Let's finish up. I want to do some other things. Let's finish up. Let's give you Ulvaka Cholev. Let's give you on the bottom. The bottom of it says you're allowed to be Likvach Mutem Ulahasvidam. Okay, you're allowed to provide eulogies. Okay, the mayor, if you're a public official, I'm sure Chaim Deutsch, right? Chaim Deutsch, and what's the other one's name? Greenfield. I'm sure they do this all the time. They have to go be masked police officers and firemen and politicians. You have to do it. And to comfort the mourners, mishum darke shalom. Halacha tes letz halacha.
It's in a church.
No, not in a church. Not in a church. Not in a church.
They know that.
What?
The body's lying in a wake.
It depends where the wake is.
Those two police were shot. Some Chabatskis guys took a menorah and put it out with all the flowers that they lit your side candles.
This halacha, not only a woman, you don't have yichud with a man. A Jew may not be alone with shiva amim im neishem chashudim al shvichas tamim. It's no joke. Mimachmim yisafet. You're not allowed to be alone with a non-Jew. Because the non-Jew may kill you.
Right. You have an Abu Zari, you have a...
Plain English.
Sorry, you have
a... What? You're not allowed to have yichud.
Barber, I mean,
you're not allowed to go to a barber shop. He has a knife. Who knows what he'll do to you? He'll cut off the head. Okay, no, so...
Sorry, what's this supposed to go?
There are a lot of leniencies for yichud. You have the door is open, he's afraid. There are a lot of leniencies. There's always a solution. Let's finish up. Okay, I want to finish up because... Halacha tezayin. Eini, no halacha. Halacha tezayin. Eini yehudi lo yitinek liyel yisrobe beso. Jew is not allowed to nurse a Jewish child in her home. Technically speaking, a non-Jew can nurse. It can be a wet nurse, it's fine. But not in her reshus. You're not allowed to bring the baby, the Jewish baby, into the reshus, into the domain of the non-Jew. Who knows what she'll do to the baby? She may kill the baby. Even if other people are watching, you never do, she may kill the baby.
What she made, what's the baby that they baptized.
Switch the baby. Baptize the baby. What is baptize? Wait, just give him a shower. Hocus pocus. What do they do with baptize? It's a joke. What do they do?
No,
you can't. There's no such thing. Halacha doesn't recognize. Baptism, it's nothing.
The woman said, I baptized him. They took away the kid from the Jewish. Okay, let's go further.
You're allowed to bring in a nurse from into the Jewish home and let the non-Jew nurse the baby in the Jewish home. If provided someone is watching while she's afraid, but do not leave the baby there all alone with the non-Jew, the non-Jewish nurse at night. Halacha Yid Zain also lulmoid umnis le'oivdeke chav mazolos. You're not allowed to learn how to be a priest. You're not allowed to learn in umnis to be an expert in to be a craftsman lit for a to a person who's the real. Okay, we'll see what on the bottom he elaborates a lot what this means. Let's try to go finish up very quickly. Halacha. You're not allowed to visit their sick. You are allowed to visit the sick. If a doctor is allowed to be mechallel Shabbos to heal a non-Jewish patient, so today the answer is yes. Today, by and large, that Sola gets a call, they have to, and they come unseen, and it's a non-Jew, there's no credit, they have to be Michal Shabbos. Okay, a doctor gets a call, he has to be Michal Shabbos. You're making your rounds today, to Mimnei Eva, and because it's a very complicated halacha, but the bottom line is that a doctor is allowed to be Michal Shabbos to heal a non-Jew on Shabbos. Period. Halacha Yigim, Chashudim al Shvichas Tamim. You're not allowed to be alone with a guy because the Nechshon al Shvichas your question, that Mizman has they were more lenient, since the guy is afraid that if murdered, they'll put him away, they'll kill him, they'll put him away for life. So the rules of Yichud with a non-Jew are relaxed.
Except in Israel.
What?
Except in Israel?
Possibly, okay, because they don't care. You're right. They're suicidal. You're right. Loi tinak liyeli shol beveso atabishu bechitz ritzichas nefesh. We said the nurse may murder the baby, and she'll say, "Oh, the baby just died by itself. I didn't do anything."
You know, but I. Why does he have to say it?
Ritzichas
nefesh.
Shema the baby. There's no recognition of anything spiritual. There's no magic today. Next halacha. You're not allowed to learn from a guy in umnis. Here we go. Also, lalam in umnis. Torah. Now he's discussing a new concept. You're not allowed to teach a guy Torah. You're not allowed to teach them the Tayag mitzvah. So we observe. You're allowed to teach them scripture. The Roye Bohem Nechamos Hamuros Li Yisrael, because they'll see the things that are written in Li Yisrael. They'll see the words of comfort. It'll give them a good education. The Chayin Kosa Mogen Avram, the Nevim Uksuvim Mutul Lalamdim, you're allowed to teach a non Jew the prophets and Ksuvim, Tanakh, Mutul Zetarum Nevim Ksuvim, Mutul Lalamdim, Vashlo Machmerai, he disagrees. Uveshur Besom Roish Kosa of the Gamiz Man Hazeh, Sheyesh Koimrim, Hayoidim Tanakh, they can learn their own. They have priests that know Tanakh. V'yichodim lamed etzdam afiluachi osel yishol lamedam. It's osir mishum de osel lahoitzi kedusha lemosro laakum. You're not allowed to give over davrasha bekedusha to. I'm not sure what this means. To give over to transmit kedusha to a non-Jew. V'gam hazayin mitzvah shenitztavu lachem gamkin in lalamdom mishum de'in esamuchem. Don't waste your time. You're going to teach them to observe the zayin mitzvahs b'nei Noach. They're not going to anyway follow it. Avol, because they know they're not doing Avol. Atoysves, Hakinga Shem Kosa, the Yeshu Lomani, you should teach them. With Marsha Shem Kosa, the Filawachi in Limsor Tamam, do not give over the reasons. Shal Zayin Mitzvos. The Chayin Kosa, Beshu Peher Hador, La Haramam. The Zayin Mitzvos Mutu Lalamdam, you are allowed, Chayin Kosa, Beshu Yad Elio. The Zayin Mitzvos Mutu Lalamdam, the Hogam Lomdim, Haimam, Heich Yisnagu Be Korbonos, Shemevim Lebez Hamigdosh. We used to teach them how to bring Korbonos. They brought a carbon oil, and they have to know all of the rules of bringing carbon oil. Like Mavur B'Shas, the Shar Divrei Torah also Lalamdam, all the things also. V'Kfar Mavur B'Sifrei Hachvayim, the Godel HaYisra Mash Shematikin, the Sifrei Mishnayos, the Shas, Lil Shoynoisam, to translate Mishnayos and Shas to their language. V'Kama Ros Mis Asfu Mizeh, many evil things came about, developed from translating Mizeh, the Godel HaRedifos Al Yisrael, and they knew too much. When the guy knows too much, to use it against us. Al Yisrael HaKol Mizeh, the Ger Sheroitzel Hiskaya, Ayin b'marsha shukas hab the sharon lun boi motari kodim shneiska. Of course, you can teach him his training. Or the shut hagoyin rabbi kivi eger. Maksha shemal marsha the ella b'sheila shabon lefanav. A question was presented. The gerish shemiskayer. The roitzel lun boi mikro. He wants to learn mishnah mechumish. The seder at tefillas kodim shemiskayer. Seem sham dshein b'koychel lahatir. Incredible chiddush. We don't do this today. But he says first you become a Jew and then we'll teach you. An incredible guy that converted were completely ignorant. And then they were taught all the laws. That's what we do today. First you teach them. If you're going to wait at Shiyimalu until they have Brismila Vyitfulo, so I'm kin miyadhu yishol vulama yigmaru, you're going to detail him and he's not gonna know how to do anything. He'll be every single day, he'll be violating all the laws. We don't delay the mitzvah. That may have been true in previous generations. The pasuk with the Kriyat Shema Yotzei Bechol Loshon, you can say Kriyat Shema in any language. Avol b'yamein nowadays ein lifsoi kein mishna falus pesach halacha mishum shemischatshim hamischatshim, because of people that do strange things. They're going to become Jewish. Who knows what they're going to do after they become Jewish? You have to make sure you know what you do. We know who you're accepting. Reform. That's what I mean. People are Muslim.
V'chein
b'yamein hoya hashatz motzi asam betfil. Also, it wasn't such a big deal those days, because anyway, anyone who came to shul, he listened to what the shliach tzibur said. Avol b'yameinu ein shach kol zel lechay yilmedu imo kriyashma v'tfilu levad koydim shimol v'atzmo. Has a very low threshold. Before they become Jewish, at least they should know kriyashma tzila. Today, what I know, the organizations that do on Geirus, they demand a lot more than that. They demand that you sit in koyl for 10 years first. I'm not even joking. They demand you become talmidei. They demand the very high standards today. They're very selective. The good batei dinim are very selective who they take. They make you go through a very long, rigorous training until they're confident that you know enough to survive as a Jew, and only then are they Megayer. Now, by the way, when he says over here that you should not translate the Torah into Mishnayis, it's well known that Rabbi Yisrael Salanter tried. He very much wanted to translate Shas. He wanted to put out the art school Shas, the first art school Shas. How long did he live, Yisrael Salanter? A long time ago. How many years ago? Almost 200 years ago. So he wanted, he very much wanted to translate why for the goy, not for us, in whatever language, many languages, German, not for us, not for Jews, for the goyim. The goyim should see the yoifi of Torah and have respect for Klal Yisrael. Incredible chiddush. So documented fact. He wanted to put together a team of people to translate the Torah, the Shas. Talmud Bavli, the Goyim should learn Talmud. There are colleges today, they have courses. They have courses in Talmud. The Goyim should appreciate the Chochmah of Torah and have respect for Klal Yisrael. When I was in college, I had a professor that was just like this. He had this amazing respect for people who knew the Talmud. He was a brilliant computer professor, very big mathematician, and when he would really go into deep stuff, he would say, we have to get us some people who know Talmud. They're very deep Talmudists, they're deep thinkers. He viewed it to be the ultimate chokhmah. And that's what Yisrael Salanter wanted on a much larger scale, which only could have been accomplished through a good translation. But he's quoting here sources that thoroughly disagree with this approach. It's dangerous, because if you're going to translate the Talmud, it's not going to follow the social norms today about men, women, and all these things. It's not the way we live. They're going to say that we're backwards, we're racist, and we're this and we're that. It's not going to work out very well when they know what it says. I think it's known that when they the article put out the stone chumash, they showed it to Cardinal O'Connor, who we know now is Jewish. Okay, we now know for a fact that he's Jewish, a half-lame fella. He was a very successful, very influential cardinal. And he was on the short list. The Pope John Paul lived a very long life. Pope John Paul died a little earlier, it's a very real possibility he would have been the Pope. He had the personality, he had it. He could have been an American Pope, big chiddush. If the world would have been ready for an American Pope, I don't know if the world would be ready for an American Pope, maybe today they are, but then not even today. Not even today. Okay, but you never know what would have been. He was on the short list. He was on the short list, and he's Jewish. A real Jew, the real deal. The real deal. Okay. But when they produced the stone chumash, they brought him the stone chumash, article stone chumash, and he right away turned to the pasuk. He knew where to find the pasuk. By the akedah, Avram told his servants, "Stay here with the animals. Stay with the donkeys." And Rashi says, "Am the goyim are doimer nesh that are compared to donkeys." And so, yep, even here in the 20th century, the Jews, they're still calling us donkeys.
That's what he said. He was a Jew.
Yeah. They're still, he was a Jew himself.
Well, the question is, he didn't know it.
He didn't know it. He didn't know it. But there was, we didn't know it until very recently, and he didn't know it. But there was one bizarre thing everyone was always talking about, that he went and he marched. He marched with the Jews, the Soviet Jew in the 80s. He went and he attended one of the marches, and he spoke. And he said, "I stand here today as a Jew."
Gay face.
What? As a Jew? What he means is, yeah, what he means. But what does he really mean? Yeah. Go Google this.
Now we're doing Dorish and Chayker.
So now everyone is being Dorish and Chayker. Maybe he really did know. And maybe when he said that, he really said it seriously. So maybe he knew. Maybe he did know. You never know. Okay, but you see from this nice of O'Connor, you see the danger. You see the danger of a very powerful person, a cardinal of in New York City, most one of the biggest churches. Shavu lechem poyim achamor, am hadayim lechamor, they're still calling us donkeys. He only said that because we translated the Chumash into a beautiful art scroll edition.
That was Rashi.
What? Okay, but it was translated. It was another opportunity for him to make problems. Whatever, the stone edition, whatever it is.
When we were kids,
whatever.
When we were kids, we had the reverse.
Okay, take a very short break. I want to discuss something.